Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house this day. We are gathered here to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we're excited that you have decided to join us for worship this morning. For those, not just those in our sanctuary, but those that are watching us this morning with their family and friends via Facebook Live. For those that are watching us this morning via Facebook Live, I encourage you to go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org, and there you can pull up the worship bulletin for this Sunday. Use it as a resource, not just for the day, but for the ministry, many ministries we have coming up in the life of our church. And I'm going to talk about a lot of those ministries today, but first I want to say a big thank you. A big thank you to Janie Brown, who was on the organ this morning. Janie got called into service yesterday. Bert, our normal pianist, is under the weather, and we had to find someone to fill in as quickly as possible. And as I said this morning to our prayer group, it is always a blessing to have wonderful resources within your congregation already. So Janie is leading on the organ this morning, and we are thankful for that. Just a reminder about things going on this week. Tonight, our adult Bible study takes place at 5 p.m. upstairs in the fellowship hall. We're continuing our study, the 3-mile walk. So I encourage those to join us back again. Or if this is the first time, just come out and join us at 5 p.m. tonight. Youth and children will meet at 6 p.m. immediately following that adult study. We have lots of things going on during the week this week. Tuesday, fun and fellowship trip to Lexington. I think the bus is almost full, right? It is full, but if you want some barbecue, you can probably place an order, and Gail will bring some back for you. They are meeting here at 10 a.m. To go on that trip, so it should be a great trip for our senior adults this week. Choir rehearsal is back, and it is good to see all of them back here. Amen. It's good to have our choir back in the choir loft this morning. We look forward to them leading us by song this day. Thursday, we have book club that meets at 11 a.m. And then that night, the virtual Bible study, prayers of the Old Testament. This week, in our session at 6:30 on Facebook Live, we'll be looking at the prayer of Jeremiah, found in Jeremiah chapter 20. Brunswick Stew is upon us. This weekend is Brunswick Stew Weekend, and we know what that means. That means a lot of preparation in anticipation of what is wonderful Brunswick Stew. This all takes place, the event of cooking it, all takes place on Saturday, October 22nd. This coming Saturday morning is the time that we need your help. But we also need your help in advance of that. One of the things we like to do is we need to do is to cook the meat ahead of time. We've got to cook the beef and cook the pork ahead of time in anticipation of using that in the Brunswick stew. Some of you have signed up for that, and we are thankful for that. Those products, the meat will be coming to the church on Thursday of this week, and you can come by and pick those up upstairs in the fellowship hall. But we are still in need of help. If you're willing to cook some more, please let us know as soon as possible. Let Kramer know. Let the church office know. We'll put you down for some. But we need additional cookers. And then, of course, on Saturday, opportunities to help in so many different ways. Prepping the pots, cooking the stew, dipping the stew, being there for the sale of the stew. It all takes place. And I know everybody's saying, well, what time will the stew be done? The goal is noon. That's right, Kramer. The goal is noon. But what I would like to say is, what time is the stew going to be done? About 10 a.m. Okay? And the reason why I say that, at 10 a.m., you can come over and you can wait for the stew to get done and we'll put you to work. So the stew will be done at 10 a.m. or 9 a.m. or 8 a.m., whatever time you think, but we'll put you to work. So if you let other people know, it's going to be ready at noon. But please come out and help this coming Saturday. Reminder to our ministry teams, next Sunday we will have church council, and for our entire church family, an Elon roundtable meeting next Sunday evening at 5 p.m. just to be ahead on that. And also, we want you to mark your calendar for Sunday, October 30th, 2 weeks from today. Our deacons will be having a Meet Your Deacon breakfast time on that Sunday morning. We want you to be here for that Sunday at 9 a.m. upstairs in the fellowship hall. It'll be a time of food, a time of fellowship where you got to meet your deacon, enjoy some wonderful food, and it'll be a time of fellowship together as the body of Christ. One other thing before we go. The the cheerleader squad, the group that we've started supporting this year in significant ways, they want to say thank you for the support we've already given them in the first couple months of their season. And so we are going to be their quote-unquote guests for an upcoming football game and a basketball game. I sent this email out not too long ago, so if you have an email from the church, it's in your email box. If you are interested in going to the Elon football game on October 29th or the basketball game, which will be on November 7th, let the church office know this week. We're going to get discounted tickets for this event, but it should be a lot of fun. We want to go support the cheer squad, continue to support them, and show them that we are showing love for them as well, and they're showing love to us by allowing us to have discounted tickets. So if you're interested, look at that email, talk to me about it, and you can sign up in the church office. We're excited about those opportunities. We gather here to worship this day. We know that God is in this place, and because of that, we can sing our praises. Let's sing.
Our first hymn this morning is Come All Ye Christians Be Committed. You'll recognize the tune. Let's stand and let's worship together. may be seated.
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. What a great feeling to know that no matter where we go, no matter what life may throw at us, God is covering us with his presence. And for that, we praise him this day. Let us pray this morning. God of the ages, we come into this holy, sacred space asking for your blessing, only to find that the abundance of your love is already around us. Open our eyes to see the blessing of your creation and the beauty all around us. Open our ears to hear the blessing of your word as is proclaimed in story and song this day. Open our hearts to experience the blessing of faith through the gentle touch of a friend or the supportive smile of a stranger. And open our doors that we may become vessels of your blessing to a world still in need of salvation. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our offertory hymn this morning is Glorious as Thy Name Most Holy. Let's stand and worship together. Join me, please, for the offertory prayer. Holy Father, we come to you on this beautiful fall morning to present our tithes and offerings as a token of our love for you. We know that our financial giving is not the only thing you require. We remember your instructions to take your gospel to the whole world and be service to others.
We remember that you desire us to love you with all our hearts, our minds, and our souls. We remember that you told us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Help us to measure up in our love and in our service. Amen.
I give all my service to you.
Thank you, choir. Again, let me say it's great to have you back in the choir loft. It's good to hear the voices. And there's a place for you. If you were not up there this morning, there are extra seats up there if you did not notice. And if we fill all those seats, there's quite a few back behind the choir loft as well. We can pull those out as well. Wednesday nights, that's when they practice. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship on this special Sunday for our congregation and the life of one in the midst of our congregation this day, Angie Miller. To Angie's family and close friends, this is a day of celebration while also a day of dedication. And we are thankful that you have chosen to be a part of this day with her. Our entire church celebrates with you, not just this morning, but the many days and weeks and months and years to come. And we affirm the call placed on her life by our Heavenly Father. So, pastor of First Baptist Church of Richardson, Texas, a man by the name of Brian Harbor, told this story one Sunday morning. Said he was walking down the hallway at their church, and he came upon one of his favorite people in all the congregation, little five-year-old Susie. So he asked Susie as she walked by, "Well, Susie, what did you learn in Sunday school today?" Susie replied, "We learned how to heal the sick and how to cast out the deacons." Now, some people may think that would not be such a bad idea. To many, the idea of deacons have been lost through the centuries. But the fact is that the role of deacon is a high and holy one. It is one of the only two church offices in the New Testament church. In Philippians 1, as the church of Paul addressed the church, he mentioned three distinct groups of people: saints, bishops, and deacons. Now, saints were the rank and file. They were the regular church members. The bishops and the deacons were the chosen officers of the church. Now, I've learned a great many truths over the years of studying God's word, truths that never move. One of these great truths is that from cover to cover of God's word, as best as I can tell, we are all called to work and build the kingdom of God. If you disagree with me, we can debate it after the service. But there's nowhere it says that we are not called there. Calling is not something specially reserved for the people on the church payroll. Rather, all of us are called to the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All are called, and the deacon is specifically called to serve the body of Christ. That is what we will look at today. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the final chapter in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 2. The words will be on the screen in just a moment as well. Now, as you turn there, you're going to see this is the last chapter in Paul's letter to the church at Rome. And these verses will serve as our focal point this morning, but we're going to expand off of them a little this day. Now, if we are all called to build the kingdom of God, and within that all, our deacons, like Angie Miller this morning, are called to serve the body of Christ, then who should we follow as a model of this service? Well, Susie, the five-year-old, would quickly answer Jesus Christ, because we know that's the answer. But who else? Who else can we see from Scripture that gives us some example as we seek to model them this morning? And this morning I want to provide and probably introduce you to an answer to that question. And that answer is Phoebe. Read with me Romans 16, 1 and 2 this day. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and to give her any help she may need from you, For she has been a great help to many people, including me. For far too long, the Christian church, specifically the Baptist church, has pushed women to the sidelines when it has come to ministry within the church. Singular verses are pulled out of context to justify beliefs. Women's names have been scrubbed from theological history just to align with the modern day allegiances that someone wants to justify. However, if we look at history, especially over the last 40 to 50 years, women in ministry, especially in the role of deacon, are starting to make their mark. And it is about time. Modern Baptists are discovering that they have been victims of tradition, detrimental to over half of the church's membership. Intensive research into the New Testament reveals that God does recognize the other half. He doesn't just speak to men. Guess what? He speaks to women. Sometimes he speaks better to women than to men. Amen? Amen. One of the key passages that become a foundation for what I'm talking about are these two verses from Romans chapter 16. And you may say and look at those verses and say, wait a minute. It doesn't say much in those first two verses. What exactly are you getting at? Nowhere in all the Bible is there a chapter that does more to exalt the role of women in the church than Romans 16, 1 and 2. In this chapter, we see Paul not dealing with controversial issues, which is what he did in a lot of his letters, but as a loving leader showing how he felt about women in ministry. So who is this Phoebe? In this final chapter in Romans, Paul begins the chapter of greeting to 26 different individuals. 26 individuals he specifically talks to in the last letter in Romans, but he begins with it with a commendation of a woman, and Phoebe was her name. That's powerful. To put her first among all the people that Paul was talking to says something about her, who she was. Her name translates literally to shining, and she was indeed a shining light in the dark world. Here was a woman that Paul loved, respected, and trusted on the same level as he did any of his male partners in ministry. So what can we learn from her ministry? What can Angie learn from her ministry as a deacon? What can our deacons learn from her ministry? What can we as the church learn from her ministry? First, like Phoebe, be a deacon or follower of Christ that others can trust. Most biblical scholars agree that Phoebe was the carrier of the epistle of Romans to the church at Rome. Paul let Phoebe carry his letter that basically changed history. Romans is Paul's defining writing piece. If you had to choose one writing piece of the Apostle Paul to define who he was, what he believed about Christianity, it was the letter to Rome. And who did he place it in their hands to deliver it to that church? To Phoebe. What does that say about what Paul thought about her? God let Phoebe carry this letter, which was to become one of the most important parts of his revealed word to the church. We are, and we believe what we believe now because of that writing. And guess what? It was because Phoebe delivered it to Rome. Not just because Paul wrote it, but because he trusted her to deliver it. You ever written something down, gave it to someone else, and say, I need you to take care of it from there? We trust that they'll do it. We hope that they'll do it. Paul knew that Phoebe would do it. Any thought that Paul had a negative view of women should be wiped away when he said in Philippians 4:3, help these women, for they have labored side by side with me in the gospel. Angie, and to the rest of our deacons, be individuals that our body of believers can trust. Cultivate relationships with your deacon families. Go the extra mile when they only ask you to go 1 mile. Hold in confidence what is shared when that is the desire of your fellow Christian. Identify and share needs as we seek to take care of the body of Christ. May the first thing someone says about you be, I love you because you're my sister in Christ and I trust you as my friend. Paul did this with Phoebe. We should be able to do the same. But that's not all. Second, just like Phoebe, may others see God's light in our daily lives. In the ancient world, the name of the moon, the literal moon in the sky when it comes up at night, the name of the literal moon was Phoebe. It was the object of pagan worship. But this Phoebe, the biblical Phoebe, had found a new light in Christ Jesus. She was now shining for him. Unlike many Christians who would change their names after conversion, and that was very popular in the first century, they came to believe something new. They dropped their old name to put a new name on to show and prove that they were something different. Phoebe chose not to do that. She chose to keep her name. This served as a message not only to the church, but also to the outside world that her faith was stronger than a name change. Unfortunately, it is the life and not the label that needs changing oftentimes. Phoebe made a radical change, and she became a servant in the church of Cenchrea. Some translations even have it saying that she was a deaconess. The Greek word used here is diakonos, which is the same word that is translated deacon multiple times in the New Testament. Phoebe was a deacon. So what is a deacon? A servant. When we serve others, we are fulfilling the mission of Jesus Christ. Phoebe was a servant and deaconess in the local church. She made her faith known and visible. And Angie, I would encourage you to do the same this morning. When in doubt, serve. It's that simple. When in doubt, serve. When individuals look at your daily walk with God, may they see the light that is shining forth from your service. Each act of service to the body of Christ is building the kingdom of God for him. Jesus even said that the one who is the servant is the greatest of all. Finally, like Phoebe, use the gifts that God has blessed you with to minister to the body of Christ. Scripture tells us that Phoebe was a deaconess in a town called Cenchrea, which was about 8 miles away from the city of Corinth. Many biblical scholars believe that she was a wealthy widow, similar to Lydia from biblical history, and she was able to travel because of her independence and resources. Such women were key people in the progress of the church growing in the first and second century. Paul gives Phoebe the highest commendation, and he urges the church to assist her in any way that she may have need. Paul wanted no restrictions on women and her ministry. Why? Because he knew that she knew how to use the gifts that God has blessed her with. So what does history tell us? It says the church rose and that it expanded its ministry when it uses all of its resources, women and men alike. It says the church withdraws from the world and ceases to develop ministries of compassion when it denies women the equal right to serve Christ with their God-given spiritual gifts. The church is at its best when all can function freely according to their gifts. Angie, use the gifts that God has blessed you with. Deacons and church body, use the gifts that God has blessed you with. Encourage Angie as she answers this call of service, and walk beside her as she ministers in the Lord's name. Now, women do not just pray for the missionary task, they do it. They go and do the very thing Jesus commanded, and not one voice of protest is raised, for everybody knows that Jesus did not say just to men to go in all the world to preach, teach, and baptize. He said, go all of you. And that covers all who acknowledge him as Lord. Thank God for a woman like Phoebe, who is so dedicated and so committed to serve Christ that she became the only woman in the Bible who was called a deacon. If not for her, who knows? If not for her and Paul's recognition and honor of her in Romans 16, there may never have been the history of a deaconess or a deacon in the church. And such a loss it would have been. By her trust, by her service, by her giftedness, this one godly woman has changed the course of history for the church. And she became, by her influence, one who touched, and ones who were touched by the millions because of her ministry. And that's what your ministry can do as well. Angie, I'm going to ask at this time if you would come forward and stand beside the chair that's located in front of me. The office of deacon is generally considered to have originated in the election of the seven as helpers to the apostles, as recorded in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. The term deacon in the New Testament means servant, and the servant demonstrates their leadership by example. Ordination means the act of election or appointing to a duty. We come now to ordain Angie Miller to the duty of deacon in the First Baptist Church of Elon as she continues to strive to be a faithful servant of our Lord Jesus Christ. Angie, do you promise to strive to live your life that you may honor Christ? And do you promise in the presence of God and this body of believers to accept the responsibilities of deacon in this church and to the best of your ability to put your faith to work as a servant of Jesus Christ?
I do.
Pray with me. Heavenly Father, you who ordered the universe have also ordained the universe. You have ordained that the stars follow their course, that the seasons follow your plan, that the oceans and tides obey your rhythms, and now you have ordained Angie Miller in your service as a deacon. Make her an instrument of your holy will. Rinse away the useless clay and leave behind a new creation, polished at your will, shaped by your fingers, dried in the warmth of your gaze. In the boundless mercy and love with which you have formed her, guide her with your spirit, so that she might complete the work you have begun. Let her always remember that she has been ordained to service and not to be served, to build up, not to tear down, to preach, to teach, and to believe. Help her to proclaim the gospel with the fervor of your greatest deacons, as fearlessly as Stephen, as studious as Paul, and as driven as Phoebe. May her life be a model of Christ the servant, that she may love others as he did and always see him in those she meets, even in the distressing disguise of the poor, the sick, the lonely, or the lost. Let her words be your words, her actions your actions. Make her hands your hands, outstretched to carry and comfort, to baptize and bless. Grant her the grace to be worthy of the work she is beginning, so that she may one day worship you in your sanctuary, serving in eternal joy at your table. We ask this through our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I speak to the church body this morning. Do you, the members of First Baptist Church of Elon, acknowledge Angie Miller as a deacon in this church? Do you promise to encourage and pray for her in her ministry and to cooperate with her in the fulfillment of the mission of this church? If you do, will you show by indicate by rising? Angie, you have a church family that is supporting you in your ministry. You have a church family also that you'll be serving as the body of Christ. May you work together. May you love each other. May you show Christ's love in all that you do. The church body can be seated at this time. And Angie, you can be seated. At this time, we will go through a practice that has been done throughout the centuries of the Christian church, which is called the laying on of hands. This morning, all will have the opportunity, if you so choose, to come and give a word of support to Angie. Many of you have already filled out note cards and dropped them in the basket at the back of the sanctuary. I thank you for that. Continue to be in prayer for Angie in the coming days, weeks, and months. During this time of laying on of hands, for the safety of Angie and for the safety of our congregation, we are going to ask that everybody that comes through wears a mask. We've got masks up front, and I'll place it on the table right here that you can pick one up and put one on before you come up to speak to Angie. We're going to ask that all individuals will come to Angie's back and place your hand on her shoulders and speak to her in her ear. In the order we're going to go, I will go first, and then all ordained individuals, all ordained deacons will go next. Then all of the family members, Angie's family, will be able to go through. And then last but not least, we'll let anybody from the larger congregation come forward that desires to come forward. What we'll ask is if you come forward, that you come down on the organ side, come around this way, and then depart on the piano side. If you choose not to come forward, that's okay. But be in prayer for Angie today, in this time, and in the coming days. Let us go into this laying on of hands ceremony. Angie, we know a lot of the words that were shared with you today are meaningful and powerful, but a lot of those meanings you'll probably forget. So hopefully you'll use those note cards when there are times of doubt, and times of struggle. Just pull those out and read through them, allow them to be words of encouragement to you in the coming days, weeks, and months. And you are joining a great group of deacons for this upcoming year. So at this time, I want to recognize all our deacons and ask you to come forward. So Angie, if you'll stand, our other deacons, we have a couple deacons that were out of town today. Susan Reinheimer, who is serving as our chairperson, deacon chair for this year. Brian Carroll, who is our vice chairperson for this year, also is out of town with business. Another Carroll, Barry, is a deacon. So Barry, come forward up here, please. Leslie Cornell. Leslie, where are you at? Leslie's over here. Sally Farnham. Sally, come forward if you would not mind. Sandy French. Sandy, come up here. Liz Hill. John Hines. He's running the computer today. Angie. And then April Riley. So church body, church family, these are your deacons. These are the ones that have been called out to serve the body of Christ. They are here for you. They're here to serve you, to show compassion, to show love. If you have a need, please do not hesitate to call them. They have told me that over and over again. We want to help you. We want to help in any way we can. This is the group that are here to serve you. They're blessed with it. They're going to use their gifts to do that. This morning, we're going to close our service with a closing hymn, Serve the Lord with Gladness. Deacons, y'all are welcome to sit on the front row or jump back up here and help Gay sing, whatever the case may be. But we're going to sing Serve the Lord with Gladness as our closing hymn. I'll be down front if you want to make a decision this morning, wherever God may lead, wherever He's laid on your heart this day. Don't put it off. Make it today. Let's stand and sing this morning.
We'll sing
our own words. There you go. As you go out today, serve Him with gladness, with everything that God has blessed you with. Be in prayer for Angie in the days and weeks to come. Be in prayer for our deacons. Be here on October 30th for that deacon breakfast. Be a wonderful time to gather around the table. Go in peace, knowing He goes with you, because He is the Prince of Peace.
One and two was in there.